How many thespians do we have here this morning? Are there anybody willing to raise their hand? I don't pretend to be a great actor, but I've enjoyed the handful of productions I've been a part of. And one of those dramas was called The Beams Are Creaking. And it was a look at the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And we performed the show in around a dozen times in Three Hills in Calgary when I was in college. But it was the most exposure I've ever had to theater life. And while it was fun, I really enjoyed it. I love the camaraderie of the team. I was amazed at watching what goes into being a good actor or being a good actress. Now, I was with people who were much more professional than I. But it goes beyond, and you know this, it goes beyond the costumes. It goes into hours and hours of maybe researching the role of your character, researching the history of your character, if it's a historical drama. But not only that, then we think of the hours and hours above and beyond that of memorizing your lines. And not only memorizing lines, but also memorizing how to speak those lines, how you should say them. And then it goes past that even, and you have to rehearse and you have to practice your movements. Not just what you say, but how you stand, how you're going to sit, how you're going to move across the stage. And then you're going to have to choreograph that with all the other performers and their movements as well. And the hours and hours it takes to do that. And then finally, above all, listening to the director and their instructions. As you do stuff, they'll notice things, they'll correct it, they'll tweak it, they'll say, ah, try this, this looks better. And the hours and hours and hours and hours of practice that go into that. I know we have some very talented youth in this regard. I've seen some of their productions, and they know the effort that it takes. And I'm sure there are others of you out there. But if you don't put in the work, if you don't take the time to invest in preparing, you'll be lost when the curtain opens. You won't necessarily, you'll struggle to know what the main theme is, where the drama is going. You'll struggle to know the movements. You also struggle to know your role in that, the part that you have to play. And I think we can sometimes feel this way about the Christian life. Amidst the challenges of daily life, we sometimes get disorientated and as to the point of it all. Where is it all going? What's my role in it? And this morning, we'll get a glimpse of that in our passage. And so I encourage you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 10. Exodus chapter 6, verse 10. You know, our Sunday school class is going on the sermons that have been preached the previous Sunday. And I've said Genesis so many times because we did that last year. Some of them are nodding, yes. So forgive me if I say Genesis. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Here we'll get a final look at the preparation of the drama of God's redemption of Israel out of Egypt and what that means for us. But before we do, let me open in prayer as we begin. Father, we ask that this morning you would speak to us through your word. God, that you would give us grace by your Spirit to obey what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. The first section of our passage that we'll look at is from Genesis 6, verse 10, there we go again, hey? Thank you. I need a sign. You know, just Exodus. Exodus 6, verse 10, to Exodus 30. And the reason why we want to look at these verses together is because they're marked off with what we call an inclusio. They begin and end in the same way. They match. So look at verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" And then we have a genealogy that we're going to look at in a second, but then go to verse 28. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." But Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" Notice these verses are pretty much saying the same thing. This is resumptive repetition. And so this whole section, what it's going to do is reveal some of the actors' background in this drama. Some of the background of the main actors in this drama. And part of that background that these verses point out is Moses' inability to play his part. Moses is insecure. He doesn't think that he has what it takes to speak on behalf of God to Pharaoh. And so we see hesitancy. He's hesitant. He's failed in the past. And so he's hesitant about the future. And then we have an interesting digression, don't we, in verses 14 to 27. It's a genealogy. And though we might be a little bit surprised with it being placed right here in the middle of the story, it serves a purpose. And the purpose it serves is it portrays another aspect of the actor's background. It portrays another aspect of the actor's background. After the chapters that we've read of Moses' hesitancy and his relative ineffectiveness until this point, the reader might wonder if Moses maybe has a point. Maybe Moses is sort of right here. Maybe Moses shouldn't speak on behalf of God to Pharaoh. Maybe he and Aaron are not the ones. And so the genealogy here, what it does is it traces Moses and Aaron's lineage back to one of Judah's sons, Levi. It also projects forward to Aaron's grandson, Phinehas. And what we see is that this is not a comprehensive genealogy. It's not listing all of the generations. It's not listing every one of the relatives. What it's doing is telescoping in on presenting the pedigree of Moses and Aaron. It's establishing that they are from the tribe of Levi because that tribe is going to serve a very special role later on in the story. You see, they will be the priests of Israel. They will mediate between Israel and God. And what we find happening here is that Moses and Aaron have the appropriate lineage to be able to serve as God's emissaries, to be able to speak on behalf of God. And look at the emphasis that the author places on why the genealogy is here in verse 26 and 27. At the end of the genealogy, it says, "It was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, 'Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions.' They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt." It was the same Moses and Aaron. It was the same Moses and Aaron. This is an important part of the background of these actors. Specifically, that Moses and Aaron have been chosen. They've been chosen by God. This sort of serves as one of those programs that you receive at the beginning of a production. You know, you get a program and it's got pictures of everybody who's involved, but it gives you a bit of the background information, a bit of the information of those who are involved, a bit of their experience. And the author is saying Moses and Aaron have been cast correctly. They've been put into this role and they have been cast correctly, even though Moses doubts his ability, even though he keeps talking about his faltering lips. God has cast them correctly. I think we can sometimes struggle about whether God has cast us correctly in his drama. We struggle to think of how he would use us based on past failures, maybe even based on present failures, based on our weaknesses. I think some of us even turn down opportunities because of our age, because of our ability, maybe even experience. And though it may have the appearance of humility, I shouldn't do that. It may have the appearance of humility, it really is, as we see in Moses' case, a lack of trust that leads to disobedience. It's a lack of trust in God and his ability to cast, his selection, his choosing of Moses and Aaron, and it leads to disobedience, And so it shouldn't be surprising that we find, at this point, the director step in to reaffirm his script and his choices. Look at chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." The primary purpose of these verses, like God's conversations with Moses time and time again, as we've seen in the previous chapters, is to reaffirm that he is the director, that this is his script, and these are his choices. We see this time and time again in the previous chapters, that he's trying to get Moses to take his eyes off his own lips, off his own inability, and to put his focus back on the one who matters, the one who it's all about, Yahweh, about God. You see, God is in control. God is in control. He is, Moses is God's man. He's been casted by God. This is his script, and it will play out the way God intends it to. Look how God clarifies Moses' part in verse 1. Now, the NIV and most other versions, they soften the emphasis that we have in this verse, because literally, in the Hebrew, it says, God literally says to Moses, "I have made you God to Pharaoh." Not like God, "I have made you God to Pharaoh." And Moses here will function as God to Pharaoh. He will function as God to Pharaoh and to the Israelites. It is God working through Moses. And then Aaron will be Moses' prophet. He will speak on Moses' behalf. And so what we find is that the director is clarifying Moses and Aaron's role in this drama. And then he says that in the next couple verses, he clarifies the script. He clarifies what's going to happen and why. For what purpose? What's the end result here? Notice that it is God who will move the script around. Every time God talks to Moses, God is trying to bring it back to himself. And you'll notice the verbs, "I have made you," but "I will," "I multiply," "I will lay my hand," "I will bring out my division." Know that "I will," when I stretch out my hand. Moses, it's not about what you do. It's about what I'm doing through you. And so he reaffirms that it's himself who will move the script along. He will harden Pharaoh's heart and perform signs and wonders, and Pharaoh will not listen until God has to come with his mighty hand and rescue his people out of Egypt. Next week, we'll look a little bit more into what happens to Pharaoh's heart, what's happening to Pharaoh's heart. But here, God is reassuring Moses that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. See, even though there seems to have been setbacks in chapter 5, chapter 4, the script has not changed. Moses and the Israelites may be doubting, but God is steady. God is faithful, and his script will go. And then we come to the purpose of the drama in verse 5, the whole reason behind it. Look at verse 5. "And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. This reminds us of chapter 6, verse 7. If you look at chapter 6, verse 7, God is talking to Moses, and he tells Moses what to say to the Israelites. And what does he say? He says, "Tell the Israelites, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." The purpose of this drama, the purpose of this script, where it's going, is that Israel, Egypt, and what we'll find is the whole world will know the Lord, will come to know God. Remember Pharaoh's arrogance in chapter 5? "Who is the Lord? I don't know Yahweh." And here we find that he's about to find out. In fact, the whole nation of Egypt will find out who Yahweh is. Aaron are finding it out. Israel will find out. And again, this is not just knowledge that's sort of encyclopedic, who is Yahweh. No, this knowing is a recognition that Yahweh is God, that Yahweh is the God of all creation. And we'll see that as this plays out. God will reveal himself not just to Moses and Aaron, not just to Israel, not just to Pharaoh, but to Egypt and to the whole world through the acts that he's going to perform here. And he will reveal himself not as some sort of local God or territorial spirit, but as the God of all creation, as the God of gods. And he will reveal that to the world, one who is with his people wherever they go. This is the point, Moses. This is where it's all heading. This is the reason to reveal who I am to a creation that has forgotten me, to a creation who has rebelled against me. You see, God knows, like Moses, that we all struggle to remember who's running the show and where the script is going. We may be in a certain scene of life, maybe a difficult scene. Maybe we're in a particularly fulfilling scene. But it's easy for us to forget who it's all about. It's easy for us to forget where it's all headed. Maybe we struggle with even trusting that perspective, that there even is a director, that there even is a script. Things seem so random. Sometimes they seem so unfair. And so we ask, what director, what script? But God speaks to Moses and he clarifies who he is, what he's come to do, and what the purpose is for all of creation to know God. Let's see how Moses responds in our final couple verses. Look at verse 6. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. You know, we've seen this over and over in the chapters previous, but in the verses we've been looking at, in chapter 6, verse 10, God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the Israelites go. And how does Moses respond? He responds with doubt. He responds with hesitancy about his lips. In chapter 6, verse 29, we have this command repeated, and how does Moses respond? With doubt and hesitancy. In chapter 7, verse 2, God instructs Moses and Aaron, you are to say everything I command you. God reminds them of their role. You're to say everything I command you. And then finally, in chapter 7, verse 6, we have the simple obedience that we found back in Genesis, that we found back in with Noah, that we found with Abraham, that we found with Jacob. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. You see, Moses and Aaron are finally ready to do God's bidding. They're finally ready to accept their roles. And so what we see is that the actors take their places. The actors take their places. Through Moses and Aaron's obedience, it signifies that they're ready. This is the cue for us that the stage is set. The front of the house is clear. Everybody's in their seats. Everything's ready. And as one has said, we have the right people in the right place at the right time. So the curtain's about to rise, and next week we'll see the drama begin to play out. But what we find this morning is we may not find ourselves in Egypt this morning as Israelites waiting to be rescued, but we are a part of this drama. It may be a different scene, but it's the same director, and it's the same script, same purpose. See, as Exodus foreshadows, we too have been rescued. We too need rescuing. We have been rescued by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We have been rescued. And so we have been recreated. We have been recast, so to speak, for a purpose. And that purpose, that is the same purpose that we find in our passage. And it's the same purpose that we find back at the beginning as well. That we've been recreated, we've been recast, so to speak, for the purpose of glorifying God, of revealing who God is, of bearing his image to those around us, of revealing that Yahweh is God, bearing witness to the whole world, drawing others to the kingdom of the Son. That's the purpose. And so I want to encourage you this morning to take to the stage. Maybe your stage these days is predominantly a kitchen and a living room. That might be your stage these days. When you get on that stage, what is your purpose? What is your purpose when you get on that stage? Maybe it's just to survive. Just to survive. Maybe it's to make yourself known. Maybe it's to please others. I want to encourage you to take to that stage with the purpose of revealing God to those around you. Of pointing to him and what he's done in your life, the grace you've received from him, whether it's your kids, whether it's your guests, you will bear witness to God as you live in obedience to what he's called you to. Maybe your stage these days is a garage or a classroom. Well, I encourage you, when you get on that stage, do you act in a way to make yourself known to your coworkers, to your classmates, to make yourself more known in what you can do? Or do you act in such a way that when you get on the stage, you do it for the purpose of drawing others to God's grace, to what God has done in your life? That's the cast, that's the role that we've been placed in. And we reflect God as we live in obedience to his word, as we trust him. If you're an actor, if you believe in trust that Jesus has died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again, and you've been recreated to reflect the glory of God, not just to your family, but to the whole world. And we're called to do that. And so I want to encourage you that when you wake up tomorrow morning, Monday morning, remember that. Remember that role. And remember that we reflect God as we live in obedience to who he is. May those words in verse 6 be read of us as well. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. You're an actor or an actress in a long list, in a long cast list of those who have come before you. A heritage of faith that can be traced back to Exodus and even further back as well. And if we were to grasp this, we would take the stage more readily and without hesitation, because the program would proclaim our history. Our names would be found in this genealogy of faith. Jeremy, a son of God through Jesus Christ. Those words, it was this same Jeremy. It was this same Jacob. It was this same Carol. By God's grace, may we be individuals who take to the stage and through obedience draw others to the grace of God, to his redemptive work in our lives, to his rescuing of us out of slavery for himself. May we be a church who in all that we do, glorifies God and the God who has rescued us from death and who has brought us life. May we take to the stage by his grace and in his power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are a God who has come down to rescue us. God, that you have heard our groaning. God, that you have heard our suffering, our slavery to sin. God, and that you yourself have come down in your Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us. We praise you this morning, God. We thank you, God, that you are the director. You have written the script, God, and that you are in control. God, forgive us for being hesitant to step into the roles that you've given us, the places that you've given us to reflect your glory, to make you known to those around us, God. God, we pray that you would give us courage by your Spirit to reveal who you are, to reveal your grace, God, in our own lives, to point people to you, God, and to make you known throughout creation. God, we pray for our community, God, that you would be made known through the ministries, God, that we do here at the church, that there would be nothing that we do here, God, that would glorify or make ourselves known, but only you, God. And the goodness, the good news that we have from your Son. God, we pray for the obedience that we need to be able to live according to your word as we take our places in this script that you've laid out. We look forward to that day when all creation will acknowledge your Son as Lord and Savior. Amen.